Welcome. Oh, good. Okay, it's growing. Thank you all for coming. Welcome back, Religious Ed families. I know that this is 2 weeks later than normal because you came for Ash Wednesday, right? Tonight's session is titled The Clean Sweep. So your catechists are going to be talking with you mostly about the beauties of reconciliation. Then Father Joe and his gang up here, I will let him introduce them when you kids leave. He's going to be talking to your parents about reconciliation and God's mercy. So you're going to have kind of the same talk tonight in different ways. One's going to have music. So instead of singing a song tonight, since we have live musicians, I want the children to show all of the adults, we are going to pray with our bodies tonight. I'll ask everyone to stand, please. Yes, that's you too. Okay. The children know this by heart already, but I'm going to demonstrate. We are going to pray the circle of grace, because since we're talking about God's mercy and you being in grace, we're going to pray that tonight. So God gives each of us a circle of grace where he is always present. Raise your hands above your head, then bring them down slowly. Extend your arms in front of you and behind you. Embrace all of the space around you. Slowly reach down to your feet, if you can. This is your circle of grace. You are in it, and know that God is in this space with you. You are graced. Okay, now you bubbles of grace can go to your rooms with your catechists, okay? Parents, you can sit. So adults, okay, I don't often get accompaniment. Let me get comfortable. Three things, adults. The Lenten Reconciliation Service is 2 weeks from tonight. So please bring your children back and receive the sacrament with them. You're going to want to after tonight's session, but your children need to see you modeling. That's in lieu of a home lesson and in lieu of a Zoom for the 7th and 8th graders. Pasta Fridays begin this week. It's been 2 years. So that's from 5 to 7:30 in the parish center. And then on Sunday, we are having our last soup lunch for Lent. So that is from noon to 2. That's free. Come have soup just if you can. Pasta Friday, there is a contribution. And you'll have to get details from the bulletin. Free will offering, excuse me, for the soup. The festival is back on for this year. June 5th. Oh.
Yes, it is.
See, I'm supporting. Sorry. This is the chairman of the festival. Can we have a little hand? Trish Wongler, there. Oh. So, but the really important part is that we're running the bingo booth, Religious Ed. So I'm going to need families, I'm going to need your help. Cindy and Trish and the rest of us will need your help in a huge way to set it up, organize, clean up. But I need your help in a small way on that day. So if you can help, I'd love to have you. Also, regarding the festival, on your way out, there are the festival letters that are organized alphabetically, so why don't you pick yours up? They have, like, raffle tickets and a letter explaining about the festival. Now, I'm going to turn you over to our pastor, Father Joe Ray, who will introduce his team here tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everybody. What we're going to do tonight, by the way, this is Cindy Johnson. You know Cindy and Tom Murray. If you come to 5:30, you see them all the time. We're going to do sort of a hybrid, informal evening prayer. So there will be some singing involved, then you'll have to endure me talking for a little bit, and then we'll finish with the way a regular evening prayer would end. And on our light board here is going to be where you're going to find the numbers.
As long as Cindy does it right.
Well, Cindy will do it right. So you'll know where to go in the book. There's nothing in here that's out of, you know everything we're going to do tonight. So we're not going to do all the formal standing, sitting kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. Just stay where you're at. And we will go from there. So our opening hymn is number 660, which is, once again, we just sang it on Saturday night, Change Our Hearts. If you feel like standing, if you feel better standing to sing, go for it. Nobody's going to judge you. I will not Jerry Lee Lewis at the piano, though. Okay, so just know that that's not going to happen, even though there's moments when it could.
Thank you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" So he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, as you know, I have a tendency to do some cultural things when it comes to trying to explain what's happening here. Okay, you first have to understand what kind of event this is. You know, so a Pharisee, and his name is Simon. I don't know if it was a different translation that I had that named him as Simon. Invites Jesus to come and dine at his house. And these are public events. So if there's going to be a dinner that's happening, there's the people invited, and we'll get to the table piece in a minute, that are there to dine, but anybody else can just sit around on the outside of the room and listen. They're probably they're not necessarily invited to participate, whether it's in dining or in conversation, but they're not unwelcomed. So the fact that this sinful woman shows up is not necessarily a surprise. It's a little surprising because of the somewhat distance between men and women 2,000 years ago and where places they could and could not go or should or should not go. But she wasn't prevented. She didn't have to knock on a door. She didn't have to do anything. She could just show up. Okay, so when we get the crew together that's dining, and it says here, and they reclined at table, which is a funny way of thinking about what's actually happening. But it makes perfect sense because it explains how what happens happens. So what the normal dining situation 2,000 years ago in most of the Mediterranean was around what's called a triclinium. So you hear the word tri, so you hear three. It's a three-sided table in the shape of a U, and they're very low to the ground. They're like this high. And so they would get couches or pillows, and they would so if you're right-handed, you would recline, laying out on your left arm, and then you would use your right arm to do the eating, and there were no utensils, so what your utensil was pita bread, and you would dip into different dishes. As in, if you're familiar, of course, with our with John's version of the Passion, you know, the one who dips in this dish is going to be the one who betrays me. And so when you think of the Last Supper, you know, most people think of Leonardo da Vinci, which is a Western understanding. You know, it's a long, big, tall table, and they're all seated. But that's certainly not how it took place 2,000 years ago. They would have reclined a table, just as Luke reports. And one of the things you do when you come into the place to dine is you take your shoes off. And the host is supposed to provide you with water to bathe your feet. This is a very dirty, dusty climate. And so over the course of a day, not only would your feet be smelly, but they would be dusty, and that should be a common hospitality part of the process. But this Pharisee does not provide it. So as Jesus is lying there, this unnamed woman comes up and bathes his feet with her tears. I mean, copious weeping is happening here. And then she dries them with her own hair. I mean, talk about how tender and intimate that must have been. And then she proceeds to, with, you know, an alabaster flask of, I'm assuming, a scented ointment, you know, which points to a passion piece there too. She anoints his feet. And while all of this is happening, the Pharisee is judging Jesus. He's already judged the woman, and how he knows she's a sinful woman, and it doesn't say what kind of sinful woman she was. Luke does not provide us with that information. But Simon is aware of who she is. I don't know. Like I say, I don't know how or why, but he does. And so he says to himself, if this guy was really who he says he is, he would know that this was a sinful woman. And Jesus, you know, knows the mind of this type of an individual. And so he asks the questions about forgiveness of debts. And then he unbraids him for not providing hospitality like he should have. And then at the end we hear, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. So the question I have for you is, what's happening here as far as, is it because this woman came in and provided these services that Jesus forgives her, or is it possibly something else? And I've always thought this, and I highly recommend this little prayer book. Some people use Magnificat. I love this one. This Give Us This Day. It's from Liturgical Press. It's where the opening prayers, or the opening and closing prayer, is going to come from. And in the reflection from Monday's gospel, which wasn't even this gospel, but he attached Monday's gospel to this one, because he wanted to make the same point that I've always thought, and it was so, well, I guess, gratifying for me to hear somebody else actually say it. Why does this woman do what she does? It's because she's already had an encounter with Jesus and was already forgiven. And this is her response, is this outpouring of love for the gift of forgiveness that she received, that she could go about and live her life again, whole. And I'm afraid that a lot of times people interpret this as, well, because she did what she did, then Jesus forgives her. If she wouldn't have done it, he never would have forgiven her. And I just don't, there's just too much gospel evidence of that not being the case. The woman at the well comes to mind. Shouldn't even be talking to the Samaritan woman. And yet he does. And in a public, one-on-one, risky situation for a Jew and a Samaritan woman to be in the same place. But that's the risk that Jesus likes to take, and he does it all the time to the point of death. So as we think about mercy, we need to think about who Jesus is and what he continues to demonstrate for us. One of my teachers when I was in Jerusalem hated Catholics, by the way, but he was a tremendous scripture scholar, and one of his specialties was Luke's gospel and the cultural aspects that go into it. And he had a phrase that he would use for almost all of the parables, so the costly demonstration of unexpected love. Costly. And that's precisely what sometimes we have to bring when we go to the sacrament, because none of us likes to admit our mistakes. None of us likes to admit that we have wronged others, or even, you know, our families, our friends, ourselves. And so there's a cost that comes to us when we go to confession of, is this even forgivable, what I'm about to divulge? And of course it is. Everything that we bring to the Father will forgive us, and through Jesus and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. As Pope Francis has famously said, the Father never tires of forgiving us. Never. In fact, one could say that's one of his main jobs. Now, you can go back, and you can dig around in the Old Testament, and you can find a lot of retribution there. But as an abbot from a different Benedictine community, and it just struck me on the head like a hammer when he said it, and it's common sense, but I just never really had thought of it before. Because me and the Father have a tremendous relationship, God the Father. I don't have a fear in the sense of I'm afraid of. But what he said in a homily when I was there on retreat was, if you want to know the Father, look to Jesus. Jesus reveals who the Father is. And I can only think of one spot in Scripture where Jesus actually is angry. You know, the overturning of the tables in the outside the temple. And maybe there's a few other little flare-ups, but by and large, what we encounter in the Gospels of Jesus is one who's going out of his way to reconcile us, to show mercy. You know, chapter 15 is, and that's usually what I talk about in this evening, and it's just I'll just read the beginning of chapter 15, and that'll let you know who this guy is. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to him. But the scribes and Pharisees began to complain, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And then so he goes into those three parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost sons, plural. And, you know, you'll have an opportunity at some point to hear how beautifully complicated that story is. But yeah, Jesus has no problem with hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. Not a problem. In fact, that's who he came. I came to heal the sick, not the well. So as we think about mercy, and especially God's mercy, we have to recognize that invitation that's always there, the one that prevents us from experiencing it, is usually ourselves. Whether it's out of fear, whether it's out of shame, whether it's out of this is just, I can't forgive myself for this, which is another major problem, is sometimes the worst obstacle to forgiveness is ourselves, that we just won't allow it. We won't place ourselves in a position to be forgiven. And how much of that stuff do we drag around for days and days and weeks and months and years of stuff that we could easily be free of if we would just take that risk? Yeah, there is a cost. But the cost that's most important is the one that's already been achieved, not only by the cross, but by the resurrection. So, in the totality of all this, it's important to realize that Jesus is going to accept us wherever we are, as we are, right now. And he's patient. The Lord is kind and merciful, which we just sang. Not the Lord is kind or merciful. Kind and merciful. An opportunity not only for your children, but for you as well, to take advantage of meeting Christ in this sacrament, knowing you're going to meet not just a kind and merciful Christ, but a kind and merciful God, and a comforting spirit that draws us further in and helps us really, truly experience what God hopes for us. You know, one day we'll see it perfectly, and one day we will also, you know, like I talk about all the time, dining in the kingdom of heaven, dancing up there in a big round circle. There's always room for one more, and one day it'll be my turn. But as we continue through this life, as St. Leo the Great said, you know, the life of Christ has passed over into the sacraments, so that everything Christ does and that you hear about in the Gospels is still happening here and now. Feeding us, healing us, forgiving us, you name it. That's where we meet him. And we meet him in ritual, we meet him in community, we meet him in the Word, we meet him in sacrament. All kinds of opportunities to encounter God. We meet him in our families, we meet him in our friends. The opportunities are endless.
To have his servant is Christ.
And let us pray. May the God of infinite creativity bless us with open hearts and minds, so that we may rejoice in diversity and discover our unique calling in Christ. We ask this through Christ our Lord.